It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at this same time, and we count it a privilege to come into your homes and spend this half hour with you. If you have your Bibles now, will you please join with us over to John chapter 21, as we are in the concluding chapter here of John chapter 21, the Gospel of John. While you're turning there, let me just recapitulate a second here and bring you up to date. We found out the Lord Jesus has been resurrected now. He appeared unto his disciples, and now he appears unto them again. This is actually the third time that he appeared unto Peter. We found out last week, as we went up here to verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing, and then we went on down to find out that he always takes somebody with them, with you when you're in a backslidden condition. It seems like misery loves company, and it always takes someone with them. Now, you begin to find that Peter, instead of, he had said once before, early in his life, some 3 years ago, he said, I forsake all, Lord, I'll follow you whithersoever you go, I will follow you. And then we find out here after the resurrection, Peter began to doubt one thing or another. Old carnal Peter, this was Simon now. Peter was actually representative here of his spiritual name that Christ named him in Matthew. Said, no flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but and then called him Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonah, or Peter. Simon Peter. Simon represented his old flesh. Peter represented his new nature. Here he talks to him and begins to talk to him, Simon Peter, and Simon at this particular point surely was exhibiting the old nature. He went fishing just like many of us do. We fish for the wrong things and we find out we catch nothing. We went on down and begin to see here in verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find, and they cast thereof, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Yet a fisherman like old Peter, been raised that way all of his life, he knew the Sea of Galilee like the back of his hand, didn't even know which side of the boat to fish on. And yet so many Christians in a backslidden condition cannot realize that the blessings comes when you fish for the right things. You cannot stay home from church, you cannot neglect your Bible, you cannot neglect praying to the Lord, you cannot neglect your family, you cannot neglect these things that have a spiritual attire to them, and then wonder why you're not catching any fish, or will represent, we'll liken that unto catching the blessings that God has for you. You fish for the wrong things, fishing for pleasure, fishing for self-gratification, self-satisfaction, and yet there just doesn't seem to come any when the chips are really down. Things just do not seem to go right. The reason is, and it's illustrated in Peter, he was fishing when he should have been serving the Lord. He went fishing at the wrong time. He went at night, showing he was walking in spiritual darkness. Peter, you're in a backslidden condition, but we're going to find here how God loves him and how he approaches him and how he tenderly deals with Peter to bring him back into fellowship so that he'll walk in the light, not fish at night, so that he'll fish on the right side of the boat, fish for the right things and the spiritual things. Get your priorities in order. Put God first. When it comes Sunday, it's not the time to do all of your chores around the house. It's not the time to do everything that's going to satisfy you. And I'll tell you this, so many times you hear this, a person will say, well, I only get one day off a week. Well, I'll tell you this, you ought to thank God that you're working. And then use that time on Sunday to rest yourself up, be in the house of God, thank the Lord for the 6 days that he gave you to work. But I'll say this, there are not going to be too many of those statements continue on if the economy and things go as they were. There are going to be people begging in order to work. But we find out here, we ought to thank the Lord and take God's day, rest, put the things in priority that are first. Have the spiritual things and give thanks unto the Lord for everything he's done for us. And the Lord said, if you do those things, illustrated here in throwing the net on the right side of the boat, fish for the right things, you're going to find out your life is going to be full. It's going to be satisfied. And that's what it illustrates here in verse 6. And then we come on down and find out in verse 7, therefore that disciple which Jesus loved saith unto Peter, that's John, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now he didn't expect to see the Lord at all. In fact, we find out this is illustrated in Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. And we'll ask you to hold your place here and go back to Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, because I believe we can draw a spiritual lesson from this. Peter was naked, and yet he did not expect to see the Lord, or he would have had his fisherman's coat on. He thought he was, alone. He didn't think God was anywhere around. And yet, when he came face to face with the Lord, we find out he was so embarrassed that he jumped right into the sea. Now, we find out this. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, it tells us here, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Do you know? We don't know when we're going to see the Lord. It could be today. I may not get this broadcast made. You may never hear this on Sunday morning. I don't know. But I know this. It is close, folks. And Jesus is just around the corner. I'll tell you, it is so close with all the worldly events taking place. We're going to see him. But you might be one that, you know, Satan's put into your mind, "Well, Jesus isn't coming in my lifetime." No, I've heard that ever since I've been a boy. But he's coming, friend. He's coming. And with all the signs of the times that are prevalent right now today, all the countries lining up and getting their allies as predicted in the Word of God, the time and the setting is perfect. It has never been this way since the time of man. Never. And yet, here we are. Every piece on the chessboard is exactly in place where it should be, and the time is right for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be one that's going to be standing there when the Lord Jesus comes and be naked, and you're going to want to hide from the presence of the Lord, just like it tells us in the book of Revelations. They cried out for the rocks to fall upon them so they could hide from the wrath of God, be so ashamed of him at his coming, where in reality, the Lord wants you to look for his coming. He wants you to look in anticipation, knowing you're going to get out of this mess of the world, knowing you can go through it while you have the Lord Jesus Christ, while you are serving him. But just as old Peter was naked, he didn't expect to see the Lord. Friend, I hope you're serving the Lord now, because you're going to see him sooner than you think. It's just around the corner, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church. I don't know how many more days it can go, if it can even go a year. Everything is right. The setting is right. The countries are switching who they are aligned with, getting an exact perspective as Bible prophecy has predicted thousands of years ago. And here we are, seeing it fulfilled in the papers today. I hope you'll not be naked. I hope you'll not be ready to run from the Lord when he comes. Because, friend, he's coming, and he's coming very, very soon. Now, let's go on, if you will. We find out here, as we go on down to verse 9, "And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire, and the coals there, and the fish laid thereupon, and bread." Evidently, the Lord, when they recognized the Lord Jesus Christ, everything was ready. And from what we find out here, there was not a word said at the supper. I think it so surprised the disciples to see how tenderly and lovingly the Lord had dealt with them. Here, everything was prepared. The Lord just simply said, "Come and dine." The fish here had been laid thereupon, and the bread, the fire was already going. Everything was prepared. He just said, "Men, come on, sit down here." And as far as we know now, we do not have a record of any conversation during the time right then. Evidently, it was a time to stop and think. We do not know as the Lord said anything. We do not know as Peter said anything. What could Peter say in a backslidden condition? He, no doubt, it was reminiscing through his mind how that he had said, "Lord, I don't care if everybody forsakes you. I'll die for you." And then just a short time later, he denied him three times. And then we find out here he was in a backslidden condition going fishing. And no doubt, really, there wasn't much that Peter could say. You know what? Maybe you're in that condition today. Maybe there's really not much you can say, but maybe it is a time to stop and think, just as there wasn't a word spoken during the meal that they ate here. The Lord had it all prepared. Maybe some message has dealt with you. Maybe you're listening to the radio and something is just convicting you by the Holy Spirit of God that you need to be back in church. You need to guide your family if you're a husband that's listening. Or a wife, maybe you've dropped away because it's been discouraging, because your husband wouldn't come. And yet, you look at the children, and even though maybe he's not serving the Lord yet, then you're going to have to take up the slack. You're going to have to do it, and God says to be a godly example. And through your manner of living and your conversation in 2 Peter, God says that you could win your husband to the Lord if you remain faithful. It'll be a testimony to him. And yet we find out here, maybe this is a time for you to stop and reconsider the way that you're going. There wasn't a word spoken here at the meal, and I think it was time. The Lord didn't say anything, and I think he knew the minds of the disciples, and it was a time for them to reconsider what they had done. They had followed Peter. Peter knew he had led them the wrong way. Peter knew he shouldn't have been fishing for fish. He should have been out telling people about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He should have been proclaiming, "This is the Christ. This is the one who died for us." And yet he had his priorities wrong. Now let's go on down, if you will, and begin to find out here how God blessed them in verse 11. And Simon Peter went up, and he drew the net to land full of great fishes. There was 153, for all there were so many, yet the net was not the net broken. Isn't it amazing here? If we take this now, it's sort of interesting here. We find out here, if we compare this up here with verse 6, if you will, this is sort of interesting. You find out that Peter had such spiritual strength now as he's getting back into fellowship here, or he's approaching the Lord, showing him what he can do by himself with the Lord. He could do more than all the other disciples put together. Now notice here as we compare verse 11 here with verse 6, if you will. Let's read verse 6 again and see the illustration that we can get. In verse 6, he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast thereof, and now they, that is the plural pronoun, were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. No doubt the 10 couldn't even draw the net to shore. There were so many. But we come down here to verse 11, and we find out here, Peter did what 10 men couldn't do. Peter, in verse 11, he said, Simon Peter went up, and he drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for yet there were so many, and yet not the net was broken. Now, we find out here an illustration. You know what? You can do with the Lord Jesus Christ what 10 men can't do. That's right. You'd be surprised what the Lord can do with you if you'll only yield to His will, put Him first, and go fishing for the right things. Now, let's go on down in verse 12 and see how tenderly the Lord Jesus here dealt with them. He says here in verse 12, he says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples do us ask, that who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. After that he was risen from the dead. Now after the meal was over with, we find out that the Lord Jesus directs his attention toward one man. Evidently, Peter was the leader. He had such, he no doubt was a large man. He no doubt had maybe a robust voice. He was a man with great influence, and the Lord was seeking him out because he had influenced those the wrong way just a few minutes ago, now, or a few hours ago. Now the Lord turns after the supper. They had no doubt thought, not a word said, anything else said. They had thought about the situation. They knew they were in the presence of the Lord. And I imagine if I would have been in their shoes, I would have wondered, how in the world could the Lord deal with me so tenderly, so lovingly, when I had forsaken Him? And you know, you're listening this morning. You know the Lord's not just standing over you with a big whip. Yes, if you do not come back to Him, yes, He will work things in your life that are not pleasant. He can chasten you. He could even bring death. He can bring sickness. And He can work things that, honestly, truthfully, you'll wish you had come back to the Lord. But you know what? The Lord loves to give us opportunity to serve Him and kindly and tenderly lead us back to Him without the disciplinary measures that He can use. He doesn't just jump in with that with a big stick. He loves to deal with us tenderly and kindly. And maybe your time is just about run out. Maybe the Lord's tried dealing with you tenderly and kindly, but you've rejected and rejected, and maybe you're just right on the pinnacle of the Lord having to inflict some sickness in your family, or inflict something, or a death in the family, or something to try to get your attention to let you know, look, now I've had enough. I've done everything I could. I died for you while you were yet a sinner. When you made a mockery out of me, I still loved you. I've done everything in the world to bring you back to me, but you still reject. I'm going to have to use some more severe measures because I love you too much to let you go ahead and ruin your life. Now we come on up. He turns his attention 100% upon Peter now, and let's listen to the conversation as we continue on here in the few minutes we have left. In verse 15, so when he had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, now notice here, he addresses him, as far as Simon is concerned, it represents the old nature of Peter. Peter represents the new nature, or the spiritual man. Simon represents the carnal man. He says, Simon, not Simon Peter now, but Simon, son of Joseph, Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And then he goes on down and says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, then feed my lambs. Now, when we begin to look this up in the Greek here, it's very easy to understand, and something that is very I think, prominent in the scriptures here that we can see. You can take your Strong's Concordance and look it up after the broadcast or next week. Be a good challenge for you to do it. But we notice here, if we get the literal meaning out of this here, if you were to read it actually in the Koine Age Greek, you would find out it would mean something like this. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, the word lovest there is the highest form of love known in the Greek language and is called agapos or agape. It is the same word used in the great love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we find out here, he says, he would be saying, if he'd be talking to him, Peter, do you love me more than anything in this world? Do you love me more than your fishing? Do you love me more than your friends? Do you love me more than your boats? Do you love me more than your pleasures? Do you love me more than your mother and your father? Do you love me more than anything else in the world? Now notice what Peter says. Thou knowest I love thee. Now the word love here is not the same word as agape, the highest form of love known in the Greek. This comes down to a brotherly love, and this word that Peter answered with is not agape. He's not saying, Lord, I love you above anything else. No, he didn't say that. If you had heard the conversation there, he said, Lord, you know I love you, but not really like I should. And Peter now is beginning to look at himself face to face and submit himself unto the Lord and say, Lord, you know who I am, and I failed you. No, I don't love you the way that I should. And then notice here in verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, remember now, he's not addressing here, he's addressing Simon as the carnal nature. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest, that word of lovest, there's agape again, do you love me above anything else? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. The word love the second time is the same one. It is filio, which is a brotherly love. Yes, I love you, Lord, but not really like I should. You know that. And he saith unto him then, feed my sheep. Now the third time he saith unto him, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me. Now the Lord changes the love from agape to filio. And here's the word that he uses. Says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me just a little bit? Will you love me just a little? And he uses the word lovest here, filio, the same word Peter used. Knowing that Peter was honest, he said, Lord, I don't love you like I should. I filio love you. I don't agape love you. I don't love you to forsake all. I'm honest, Lord. And the Lord said, Peter, will you love me just a little? And Peter was grieved because that he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, then feed my sheep. Now we come on down, and in conclusion this morning, I'm going to skip over one part here about how he told Peter how he's going to die. We're going to come back and next week put a conclusion and draw in the strings on all these on the last two chapters. But let me go on down now because we want to end with one thing here. You know, he had denied the Lord three times. He gave Peter an opportunity three times. You may have denied the Lord, and the Lord's giving you an opportunity, another time to serve him, another time to confess him, another time. How many times has God had patience with you because of your hard heart and maybe your rebellious attitude and your stubbornness and you're determined you'll never go inside a church again? Let me tell you something. Do you know, I was talking to a man last week, and this is sad, and it's not any excuse really for the man, but this man used to teach Sunday school, and yet this is about 10 years ago. And we were just talking in the office there, and there was another man in there, and he said, anyway, we were talking about legalism, how that churches turn so many people off by just, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, and they got a set of rules a mile long that, honestly, it'd take a year to memorize them all. And yet he was talking, he said, you know, I used to teach Sunday school 10 years ago, and the Sunday school superintendent came into me and said, you know what, Mr. So-and-so, unless you shave your mustache off, you can no longer serve or as a Sunday school teacher. He said, I have not been back into church for 10 years since then. Well, you know this, you can have all kind of excuses why you do not want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying this is an excuse. I think the Sunday school superintendent was wrong. I really do. I think he was. If you want my personal opinion, we have men in our church that have mustaches. They look very fine. They look very nice. Many cases are very distinguishing to look. But to say a man can't teach a Sunday school because he has a mustache is absolutely asinine. And yet, That man, I would say, contributed as much to this man not serving the Lord. But let me say this in all reality. That's really no excuse. Well, I wanted to get on the verse where he told Peter, he said, "What is that unto thee?" Let me just close in this. Our time's gone. We do not have time to put it in. We'll cover it next week. But we find out this. He did tell Peter. He said, "Peter, what is that to thee?" Other words, Peter, don't worry about anybody else. You go on and serve the Lord, and what is that to thee, what somebody else does? And you know one thing, friend, you may be out of church because you're using somebody else for an excuse. Don't you think God knows that? Don't you think God knows what that person done? And don't you think the Lord can correct that person and take care of the situation? You're just using it for an excuse. Well, let me say this. What in the world is that to you? Why don't you go on and serve the Lord? And after all, God loves you. He dealt with Peter kindly. He's dealing with you kindly. But I'll say this. Maybe this will be the last time you rebel against the Lord, and God will have to step in with his chastening hand and inflict something to order to show you that he means business. Why don't you avert that? And why don't you yield to him now? Trust him as your personal Savior. And then, after you trust him, we're speaking to those now that are not serving the Lord who are saved. Why don't you yield to God's will? And why don't you say, "Lord, here I am. Use me however you will." Well, it's been so good to be with you again this Sunday morning. We pray you'll take just a minute and sit down and drop us a line. Let us know that you're listening. We'd appreciate it so much. Well, it's been good to be with you again this Sunday morning. Until next week, may the truth of God's Word keep marching on.